This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Federated just wants to say thanks to all local businesses in and around the state of Minnesota. You are our community partners, our neighbors, our families, and our friends. And when you need Federated, Federated is here to help. Visit federatedinsurance.com or call your local marketing representative to access trusted resources you may need during this pandemic. At Federated, it's our business to protect yours.
TCL is a proud sponsor of the Score North Studios. TCL, America's fastest growing TV brand.
Oh, it's fun.
Crazy.
It's painful, but it's wonderful.
What is the name?
It's Royce Unchained.
All right, Patrick Royce, where do you want to start on this Monday?
I want to start with what I just saw on the TV screen here.
Yep.
Dak Prescott's surgery went very well. I'm still waiting for the guys that say, yeah, we gave him surgery, and I don't know if he'll ever walk again. You know, I wish I'd done the right ankle. I thought I screwed. He was pointing down to his ankle, and I operated on the wrong one. I'm sorry. You know, he'll never play again.
We're
going
to have to give it another go.
He'll never play again. You know who's really an unimpressive lout that I never realized how unimpressive he's gotten? Mike McCarthy. He's a babbling idiot. Did you hear him talking? He can't say a sentence. What happened to him? Maybe it's the man. I think he's so paranoid about coaching for Jerry because he had pretty much free reign over there. And I mean, he had Ted just telling him you play these players in Green Bay, and he had to feud with Rodgers a little bit. But down there, he's like paranoid. He was afraid to say anything. And then I don't know. Plus, He looks like he's put on the pandemic 25 like the rest of us do.
I think he did.
He's enormous. One other thing, by the way, this is completely off what we're going to talk about. But I clicked over to the senior golf yesterday because the Lumpster was in it.
Yeah,
was in contention for a while. Now the Lumpster's looking big, but Darren Clark, my God, Darren. Yeah, that's not the what happened. You know, Darren Clark, he won the British Open about 5 years ago. God almighty, he's enormous. I thought it was Lumpy. I thought I was watching Lumpy. He's gained more in the pandemic than I have. You'd have to get the video of him playing yesterday because
the picture's here. Yeah, he's skinny.
That's not the Clarkie. Clarkie always liked his whiskey, and now that he's a senior, he doesn't really care about, but he's got the, as us fat guys do, he's got the shirt hanging out,
nothing wrong with that.
When you're playing golf with the shirt hanging out instead of tucked in, you're too damn fat. So, Darren Clark. Okay, Vikings, last night, that's the best they got.
Yeah.
That's the best they are going to play all season.
Yeah.
They kicked their ass. They had the ball the first 2 weeks they got beat because they never had the ball.
Mm-hmm.
This week they had the ball 40 minutes or 39, and the Seattle had it 21, and the plays at one time were 71 to 29 or something like that.
They were way out of whack, yes.
And they did everything they had to. They ran the ball down their throats against a bad defense, and they controlled the game, mm-hmm. and Thielen, Seattle must have decided they weren't going to let Justin Jefferson catch passes or something.
About that one,
He only caught three. But, they played great. And People want to say, well, they let the – yes. When they gave up 21 points in 2 minutes, I think it was a minute 51 seconds, right?
There was something like that, yeah.
Something like that?
Yes.
And they went down 21-13. Who, in the great listening audience and watching audience in Minnesota, thought it was going to be any less than 35-20, or maybe worse? It was over, right?
Yeah, it felt like it.
And then all of
moment.
A sudden you're down at your other end of the field, and you go get a touchdown.
Yep.
And then you're down at the 3, and you drive 97 yards to take the lead.
The Seattle defense insisted that they stay in that game, though, because that Seattle defense is awful.
They're not real good.
Which made the game fun.
They had a couple more guys hurt. But I'm saying the Vikings go 97 yards to take the lead with a touchdown, 18 plays. They don't let Russell have the ball for 10 minutes.
I'm with you on what you're saying, yes.
People are complaining. People are complaining that somebody said their offensive line sucks. Well, the right guard had a little trouble, but they kicked the crap out of him. They kicked the living bejeebers out of him.
Zim is not going to have a better game plan than he had for that against Russell Wilson.
How many plays did Seattle run the first half? About eight?
Yeah, eight or nine, I think.
I mean, it was brutal. It was brutal. It was just a whopping.
I can find it. Hold on a second.
People who compare it with the game here where Blair Walsh missed a field goal are crazy.
Oh, no.
That was a physical.
No.
This was a physical mismatch.
And those were
that
two
was great Seattle defense.
Yeah, those were good teams.
Yeah, that was
this
a great
This is some
Seattle.
Good players, this was, but not great teams.
But this Seattle team might be better offensively than that team.
But
was.
That defense is awful now. And you're right. Yeah, back then it was good.
Well, they had all their money invested in defense back then. They had eight Pro Bowlers.
Total offensive plays in the first half, 41 for Minnesota, 18 for Seattle.
They had 18? Didn't seem like they had 18. First downs, or five maybe?
15-5 on first downs.
Vikings had 31 first downs and 449 yards.
Yes. Yep.
And the backup running back rushed for 120 yards. Now, do we think he missed a big hole there because he couldn't make a cut, or did they get in and make the play?
No, I think I think ideally he sees that and goes a little bit more to the right. But my guess is my guess is he ran in the gap. They told him to run it.
But a lot of people. Open up. But Dalvin Cook would have seen the hole and scored a touchdown.
If Dalvin had been healthy, he would have.
Because
a
lot of people have done a screenshot of that, or somehow they got the 22 or something. And the hole to the right of the hole he hit is as wide as this studio.
Yes.
You know, it's huge. So, you know, the guy played great. He runs hard. He's a machine. I mean, he's a tough kid. So is Mike Boone, for that matter. But he missed the hole. So I don't know. What makes it great being a fan is this. They lost 27-26, so you can bitch that Zim didn't kick the field goal. If Zim kicks the field goal and they go down and score, they're now starting at the 25 instead of the 6, right? Mm-hmm. They started at the 6.
Mm-hmm.
And they go down and score, and then they work a little harder on their two-pointer than they did.
Yeah.
Then. Because they've had 15 seconds, so they knew they're going to win anyway, but tie it, and then they get the kickoff if they win.
Then
the,
we can play
win
and go
the
for
toss.
It.
And then why didn't he go for it? They've been running it down their throats all day. All they had to do was make a yard. There's no way the Seahawks could have stopped them. I
would have done that.
That's the great thing about being a fan. Whatever the guy does that gets you beat is wrong. You just don't have to decide until the game's over.
We can't lose.
Somebody said on Twitter a couple weeks ago, said to me, and you know, have you ever been wrong about anything? And I said, not in hindsight. not when I knew what happened. I've never been wrong. And that's the.
What's your famous line? Was it Tice who was complaining to you about
something and you said, Mike, we always win.
Yes, right. I said, you either retire. I said, you either get run out. He said, I either retire or die. Beyond, except for that, I win. Yes, yeah, I win, Mike. It's yeah, I told him that. We win. You leave. You get fired.
Yeah, you get
fired. We keep going.
Rent doesn't come for us.
No, we got a union.
Exactly.
Yeah, so anyway, but...
You're right, though. That's as well as they can play.
Mm-hmm. Lynn called me up one day and was complaining about something, even though we got it. He says, what is your philosophy? I said... If you win, it's the other team's fault. If you lose, it's your fault. I said it's simple, which is not true. But I was a big Viking defender on Twitter last night because they choked. No, they didn't choke. You got the best quarterback on the planet throwing a bullet, and Anthony Harris is all over the guy, and he makes the catch. And he's a monster. They didn't choke.
And that defense is not as good as that defense played last night.
No, they played great.
They played really well for a defense that isn't even close to what it used to be.
No, but Seattle is it's got to be very difficult for Pete, who was a defensive coach, and they've had to spend all the money on Russell, right?
Yep.
To look at this defense now and see. Now, and one thing, this Jamal Adams that they went and got is supposed to be a killer, mm-hmm. and he didn't play. But they're not exactly one defensive back away from being a good defense. And Dunbar left the game too, right? Their best corner.
He left, and I think he came back with cramps or something like that.
Yeah, but Jamal Adams ain't the answer for that defense. They're not going to. Although in the new modern NFL where... Now they're starting to call more holding again, huh?
Because yesterday
they went weeks.
Oh yeah,
they went weeks without calling any holding. They made some shaky holding calls.
By the way, I love this. Don't call holding.
No, I do.
I'm a much happier fan.
Yeah, but that Samaya kid kind of gotten robbed on that lad. That one of them didn't look that bad, right? Samaya.
What the on a block or what?
On one of the holding penalties.
Oh
yeah,
yeah. I mean, he just can't play, but. They're trying to force him in
there.
So
where's Ezra?
That's what we want to know.
I mean, he's your number one draft choice. I know he didn't have training camp and all that, but if your starter is hurt, your number one draft choice should at least be able to be the backup, shouldn't he?
Well, and why wouldn't you flip Dakota Dozier, who's not great, from left to right guard, and then have Ezra play left guard, because he's a left tackle by trade, but I think he can play left guard. I wouldn't have him play right guard, but there'd be a way to get him in there. Unless you think he's awful.
All the way the way Dakota and Riley Reiff kicked the crap out of that side of the Seattle defense, which is obviously bad yesterday, you're probably not going to change that around.
No, right? But if you're going to leave Samaya there, you're going to...
Yeah, guard. Anybody can play it, for God's sake.
See that? You and Spielman are kindred spirits on this. You think anyone can play guard?
Well, if you're...
You remember when they went and signed Hutch to the poison pill deal? That's a guard.
Yeah, well, that is a guard. But you can't draft Ezra and then say, I got to play Drew here.
That's what I don't understand. Yeah. And if Ezra's that bad, he really probably shouldn't have been taken in the second round.
No. But how do they make that decision if he can play or not? Has he even been active?
Yes, I think he's been active a few times. Mm-hmm. He has not played a snap yet. Well, the question is this. So he's drafted and he's going to eventually, hopefully for his sake, play left tackle. But they trained him at left guard during training camp. So was he just so bad there that they think he's unplayable? And if they think he's worse than Samaya is at right guard, he is terrible. Like, this isn't a... Well, true, Samaya's pretty good. I never thought we would pine for the return of Pat Elflein, Patrick.
No. I saw Mark Craig's piece today. He said, what do you think of Elflein now? But, if he got... if Semien couldn't hold up against this collection, he could have some troubles in the future. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Who do they play next? Atlanta. Oh, Atlanta.
Yeah, new coach.
Did they name Raheem? I'm guessing they named Raheem.
Raheem was named the interim coach for the Falcons. Raheem Morris.
I don't think. But once again, you get to take on a terrible defense, right?
Yes, and their secondary's decimated too.
Yeah. That's right. I saw they've lost a ton of guys the other week. They're all hurt. Boy, it's amazing. And I mean, we always got a lot of injuries, but it seems like there's more than ever. With the training camp and everything. Yeah. I mean, these guys are
like Dalvin last night.
Yeah,
like groin or hamstring.
Little pop, but I bet it's whatever it was. It's sore today than it was in the second half.
I bet it doesn't play for three games.
Three games. They won't. They probably won't DL him. But anyway, yeah, it was a hell of a game, and people are I'm sorry I watched and blah blah blah. This is why you watch.
Yes,
your team played the best they could, and the best player in the world beat you. You know.
By the way, if you're a football fan and Wilson gets the ball when and where he did, weren't you a little bit excited to see it?
Oh yeah, that's what I
thought to myself. This is gonna be fun.
Yeah, I don't want him to go four and out.
Yeah,
I
me neither.
You know, now if they would have batted the ball away on fourth down, you would have gotten to see Russell at his best, and you'd win the game. That would have been more fun. Mm-hmm. But you want to see if, because that was not exactly a lovely drive they made of any efficiency. He had to throw that one pass up so Metcalf could adjust and make the catch. Boy, what a stud he is.
You know the incredible thing about Wilson? You never see any panic.
No, I was really surprised the possession they had before the last one, wasn't it? Where he let himself get sacked that time. They came in and they kept him in the box in there, and that's not easy to do. He got outside and ran to make plays much more seldom than normal.
I thought
last night.
I agree.
They kept them.
They did a great job.
They had a great plan for him, and
they did a really good job.
And they had Harrison Smith up in a line of scrimmage half the night.
But it's 4th and 10 on that last drive, and you think you'd see a little bit of fluster to him?
No,
there's zero fluster.
And he made that. Yeah, I've said to somebody, it was a badly thrown ball. Oh, it was a ball thrown the only place. He knew he had a 6'4" guy who could jump up over Cameron Dantzler and catch it, right?
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, he is incredible to watch, though, because he's just always the same.
Gladney looked pretty good last night, I thought. Gladney's getting better.
I think those two young guys, the two corners are getting better.
Dantzler's got a size problem, right?
No, Gladney's the smaller one.
Gladney's the smaller one, okay.
Dantzler's the bigger kid. But those guys, I think those guys are improving, and that's the thing is, they're going to struggle. It's going to happen.
Well, they played as good as they can last night and got beat, so what the hell? They still, the people are saying, it's over now. 7 teams are going to the playoffs. 1 team out of the East has to go, but you don't have to worry about any of those 3, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that one conference. The 49ers are terrible because they don't have any players left. Yep. You're probably, who are you going to, Arizona, you're going to get 2 out of there, right? The Rams and Arizona.
Yep.
The East, you're going to get just the 1. The South, I guess you got to watch the South because the South will have, you could have one of those years where the one year way, way back when the Central had 3 wild cards, I think, or something like that, or 3 teams. I think that 3 wild cards, but I think that's where you got to look. But they could go 8-8. You know, they get to play the Lions twice and the Bears twice, and they play like they did last night.
I think they'll win at least 5 or 6.
They'll kick the crap out of both of them.
I bet they split with Detroit.
No,
I bet they split with Detroit.
No,
well, Patricia's awful. Yeah,
they're no good, and they're playing against a dummy. So
he is a dummy.
He might be next, huh? By the time you play them,
Gaze with the Jets.
Yeah,
the Jets are awful. Marone in Jacksonville, Collar's guy. They're awful.
Yeah. But Jacksonville wants to be awful, right?
Yeah, but Doug Marrone's just another dummy.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, that's true. But Gaze, why he got the second chance is weird.
Nobody can figure it out.
Who's coaching Miami now?
Brian Flores, who's a Belichick disciple. I think he was Belichick's defense.
They scored 100 points last night, yesterday. What was that about? They Ryan beat the 49ers.
Ryan Fitzpatrick looked like he was 23.
They beat the 49ers as bad as they wanted to. It was pretty amazing.
Yeah, it was remarkable.
I bet if I was Kyle Shanahan, I'd be a little bitter about those two games I played in MetLife Stadium and came back with half my team, right?
Yeah, well, I think it was the first one where they had four guys get hurt.
Oh, but big, important studs.
Yeah, Bosa got hurt.
By the way, the two occupants of the MetLife Stadium are 0-10.
Yeah.
I read something about how ratings in New York for the NFL are horrible. And it's not because of social justice protest. People protesting social justice campaigns by the NFL.
Did you watch a part of that Jets game?
Because
the red zone kept cutting into it a little bit yesterday. They are atrocious. Like, the Giants aren't good.
Yeah.
The Jets are awful. Unwatchable.
Yeah, the Giants kind of fight you to the end and then get beat.
Yeah, the Giants aren't a joke. The Jets are a joke.
You know who's a joke? Dallas. They're terrible.
Yeah.
They're 2-3. They're terrible.
I'm absolutely shocked by that.
They're terrible. They were lucked out to win that game. Now they got Andy at QB. And,
Dak. They had a nice pass at the end of the game yesterday. Did you see that?
Yeah, Andy isn't terrible.
Yeah.
He's, he was playing with the... But Cincinnati's doing to Joe Burrow what Houston did to that car kid, the first car kid.
Getting the crap beat out of him.
Getting the crap beat out of him. Cleveland did that. Who was the quarterback that they had early in their tenure who would look good early, but he ended up getting beat up so bad?
The new Browns?
Yeah, the new
they
Browns.
Had a, well, they had Tim Couch early. Yeah, early.
Not Couch.
But he wasn't good.
I'm thinking of somebody else. But they, you just let those guys get hammered and it doesn't do much for them. They get a little flinchy.
Yeah.
And he's not he's a good-sized kid, but he's not,
Darnold might be done now. They're already talking about the fact that they might try and trade him, which is hilarious.
Really?
Yes.
Because this is his fault? Because he's getting killed?
They decided he might not be the guy. But they can't, if they let Gaze make that call, then they should just be folded.
Yeah, it is amazing what a screwed up... I don't even know who owns them these days.
Woody Johnson, who I think might have...
I think they're selling. But he died.
That family, I think, still runs.
His daughter, I think, is the chairman of the board or something.
Yeah, they are incredibly poorly run.
Well, so I watched quite a bit of baseball last night.
How was it?
Didn't see a second. Pretty good. But the Rays, they didn't really swing the bats. They're pitching. Blake Snell was mediocre as could be. He went through five innings and was lucky to get through five, or maybe four. And he threw 29 pitches the first inning.
Mm-hmm.
And the fourth inning, they must have had 15 foul balls against him. He couldn't get anybody. He was terrible. I mean, he was mediocre as hell. Then they go to John Curtis. Former twin ace. Then they go to, I can't remember, there was another guy, and that right-hander, the side-armer, Thompson.
Okay.
He gets him out in the seventh.
Yep.
Then the eighth, they bring in Aaron Loop, a lefty, who's the crappiest lefty the Vikings ever had, the Twins ever had out of the bullpen. Now, give me one of their slop-balling bullpen lefties. That's this guy.
Okay.
That's Aaron Loop.
All right.
He fills the bases up with one out, walks two guys, throws every other pitch in the dirt, sloppy curveball, and Castillo comes in and Gurriel hits the first ball out to second base and they get a double play. The first pitch he sees, they hit into a double play.
So it worked.
And then Castillo gets them out in the ninth. So they win 2-1, and you look at it and say, who the hell are these guys? It's amazing. It's amazing.
Here it is. Curtis, Thompson, Loop, and Castillo.
Yeah. What would Loop?
Castillo's a big kid, too.
Oh, yeah. Loop, one out. What? One out.
One third, one hit, one walk, one strikeout.
No, he had another.
According to Box
Score? He hit the first guy he faced.
Okay.
First pitch he threw, hit a guy. He was terrible.
So this was 2-1, Patrick.
Yeah.
3.50 time of game.
Well, was that? Did it take that long? I thought it was about 3.5. You know, I'm so trained now.
It was 4.
3.50. Wow.
2-1.
2-1. Yeah. You know, it does drive you crazy. And these are the guys. These are the guys that brought this to us. These are the guys that...
The Rays?
It was only the spring of 2018 that they first came up with this idea of the... That they first promoted the idea of the opener.
Yeah.
And now everybody does it. Even when you're... Even your starters are openers, you know. The first sign of trouble, goodbye.
Yeah.
And, of course, it's worse this year because they're letting everybody have a 28-player roster, yes. which they probably need with 7 consecutive games. But they got endless supplies of pitchers to bring in, and so you can hook a guy anytime you want to. And I got to think the ratings are awful are going to be terrible for the American League because I'm not watching those cheating Astros and then the Rays who have no audience at home.
Right.
I told Reavers this earlier. Last year, Tampa won 91, 92, 93 games. I can't remember. Over 90 games. They didn't win the division, but they won 90-some games. Total attendance, tickets sold, 1.17 million. And this is for a team that the year before, you know, they were on a streak again now of making the playoffs and, sure. You know, or we being well over 500. 1.17 million. That they're like...
How do they stay there?
In 2008... They won a World Series. They drew 1.8, and then the next year they drew 1.8. That was tickets sold. Mm-hmm. Then they started to. Then they had a 4-year streak where they were under 500 and had one really terrible team. But now they bounced back, and their attendance, from what it was before those 4 losses, is down like 500,000.
And they've got the long term lease there too, right?
Yeah, well, that's the problem. They can't get out till. They can't get out till 2026.
Wow.
Baseball proposed the Montreal-Tampa split season, and the mayor of St. Pete said, nope, you got a lease. We're not letting you out. So that's their trouble. If they want to build a stadium, they want to do it on the other side of the water in the Tampa side, but somebody's going to have to give St. Pete there's no buyout in it, apparently. There's no set amount of money you can give them to get out of the stadium. Otherwise, you know, Major League Baseball should come to the St. Pete and said, you know, get everybody to throw into the pot and say, you know, what if we give you $50
million? Take some of your TV revenue.
What if we give you $50
million? The national TV chunk.
Yeah, I mean, because this guy's, you know, the guy who took over in 2000. At the end of 2005 from Vince Namoli, who was an idiot, and has created this, Stuart Steinberg, I think. It's a group of New York investors. But I don't know how they do it, but it's unbelievable. They're 40-20.
Yep.
Now
the Twins can't do, Patrick.
They
eliminated those Yankees and danced on the grave.
Yes. Went out and sang New York, New York.
That was just great.
Yeah. And, they have not blown a lead this year. They have not lost a game. They led after 7.
Really?
And they don't have Aroldis coming in. No. They don't have Zach Britton and Aroldis.
Is Cash that good, too?
Because he's good. He's really
good. He was, what, a bullpen coach in Cleveland?
Yeah.
They went and got him off, I think, Francona's staff, and I think he was the bullpen guy or something.
Yeah, somebody, yeah.
They really hired good. Him, and I said, I have no idea who this is.
He's really good, and he's got a little edge to him, unlike Rocco. You know, I'm sure Rocco's got an edge that we don't see, but in his public presentation, well, he showed that when he said, we got a bunch of guys that throw 98 when the Yankees.
Yeah, Rocco ain't saying
when Aroldis threw it, Broso. How's that for a great little...
Yep.
Twist of fate, too. The guy he threw at his head that started all the brouhaha, out of nowhere, he had 150, hits And then in the last game against the Yankees, Mike Perez, who's basically the worst hitting Twins catch, Tom Nieto, a left-handed Tom Nieto, comes up and hits a home run. You know, they just get it from places that make no sense.
No, but imagine if the Twins ever did what the Rays just did to the Yankees.
Oh, yes, yes. They don't seem to be frightened about that. Well, this year they were 8-2 in the regular season, and then so 12,
they seem to embrace it.
12, and then they beat them 3 out of 2, so they're 11-3 against them. I mean, 11-4 against them this year. Yeah, they do. Now they got a rivalry.
Mm-hmm.
The team with the 29th highest payroll in the league now has the rivalry with the
and the AL Central team. Champions don't.
No. But you know, Tampa struck out more than any team in baseball this year.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, but it's a different approach than you see from our fellas.
Who's there, Miguel?
I don't think there's one guy that dominates it. But Zanuno strikes out all the time, and he hits 180, but he comes up and hits a home run every once in a while. He got a big hit. You know, he hit a bullet yesterday.
The outfielder, who the hell is that? The kid that plays left.
They got him from the Cardinals.
Ridiculous.
This offseason, he was a Cuban kid who the Cardinals had. I think he hit one home run and played in 30 games or something. And, you know, he got there, and they said, lift and clean, baby. And they didn't call him up till August 31st. He was in the whatever we called the B squad, junior varsity.
Well,
they didn't call him up. They didn't call him up. Yeah. It's pretty good. So how are we doing in our hockey maneuvers? You like Cam Talbot?
Yeah, I think it's fine.
Yeah.
It's an upgrade on Dubnyk, and the thing that I like is that Guerin's the first guy to come in here. Fenton started, but I love the fact that he's just like, we're not bringing guys back.
Mm-hmm.
And how about Mikko's quote from Columbus? Did you see that?
Yeah, I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was a little
Mikko
offended.
Mikko, we were going to retire his number till now, but now it's gone. He basically said, I got jealous from seeing all these teams advance in the playoffs, and so I want that chance. I believe Columbus, if I'm not mistaken, I saw this. I believe in their history they've won something like one series.
Man, that was against the Lightning last year when they beat him in the first round.
So Mikko might have signed with the wrong team. but here's the thing.
He doesn't have Torts anymore. Who's their coach?
No, Torts is still there.
Yeah.
Oh, that's going to be too
perfect for him.
That's going to be two red ass human beings.
Torts is still there.
Yeah.
By the way,
Torts had a great.
The other foul mouth guy got another job. Lavalette, right?
Yeah, the Capitals.
The Capitals. What are they doing? How can you
can never have enough F-bombs, Patrick.
Yeah, how can you fire Trotz and get these two
morons? No, they let Trotz walk because he wanted money, and they wouldn't pay him. So he said, see ya. And then they hired his assistant, and his assistant wasn't good. And that's the problem.
They should make Ovi player coach.
I can see that. I'd love that.
And just go out and
go back to player coaches.
And after every game, you just drink as much as you possibly
can. That's what I was going to say. Beer on the bench.
Yeah, right.
Ovi would have beers on the bench.
I think Ovi has accomplished all he wants to in hockey, and he doesn't care anymore. He still has
a bunch of goals. What happened to player coaches, though? Player coaches.
I don't know. We don't.
Managers.
Yes.
Who used to play.
Baseball is the... Well, you can't do it now because you got to have like all these analytic and computer. But baseball is where it's the easiest. You know, back in the day, you write out a lineup card and let's go get them. Frank Robinson.
Joe Torre did it, right?
Torre did it. Frank Robinson. There have been a lot of them. Lou Boudreau way back when with the Cleveland Indians took him to the World Series.
I believe Boudreau was the first guy to shift.
Really?
The famous Williams shift.
Of course, the shift there. Yeah, right. Ted Williams. He did shift. That's right. They'd put the guy on the other side.
I think that was the
base.
First shift in baseball.
And he managed to so irritate Ted that he just tried to hit. He never, just because he wanted to prove to Boudreau he could hit the ball through it or over it, he never took a hit to left field in his life.
What would have happened if somebody had walked up to Ted and said, I got
hey,
this
Ted,
thing.
Ted, why don't you bunt? Take that single.
Launch angle.
Yeah, right.
Ted, let's talk launch angle.
Yeah, right. Ted had launch angle and didn't call it launch angle.
You would have had the bat in a place in your body where they would have had to remove it surgically.
Every season, the Olsons would gather on their dock. With all the weeds and muck, no one would go into the water except for neighbor Larry, who would stand in there to cool off amongst the thick weeds.
Hey, neighbors.
Larry.
But this season, the Olsons dropped a few Aquaside pellets into their lakefront. After just one application, the water was crystal clear. And turns out, neighbor Larry is a free spirit and a fan of skinny dipping.
Hey, neighbors.
Larry. Oh, my.
Who nude? Nude.
Clear your lake or pond completely. Visit aquaside.com. State permit may be required.
Yeah, that's, he was, I told you I had one real meeting with him.
Yeah.
By accident. Dug out at Winter Haven. I'm waiting to talk to Clemens, right? And which was an experience. I had the lineup. He was a young, like the second year there. He was a young guy. Yeah. And Davey, no, wait, was it Clemens, 83? Was Clemens there then?
I don't, that might have been before.
Might have been,
I,
maybe before. It wasn't. I don't know who. I had an interview lined up with somebody. I don't know who.
Yeah.
But Dave Engle was the Twins catcher after being an outfielder, which was a, you know, and then he got the yips and couldn't throw the ball back to the pitcher, which is fun to see. Drove Gardner to drink, which wasn't a, was a short drive, by the way. And but Ted went and sat down. He said, you from Miss sat down. I was in their dugout sitting there during BP and waiting for somebody. I don't know who. And he sat down next. I've told you this and sat down and says, you from Minnesota? I said, yeah. And he says, how's Sid doing? I said, he's still alive. And I could tell him that now, 37 years later. But and then he asked me about Engle, of an Engle kid, and it turns out I ended up getting a great piece out of it because Engle's father and Ted were buddies from San Diego, grew up together and were the best of friends, and Engle's dad ran his, would drive from California to Lakeville, mm-hmm. Michigan, Massachusetts, and run Ted's camp in the summer. So anyway, but it talk to me about what, you know, maybe 15 minutes, you know, ask me about Engle and other stuff about Minnesota. So.
Not too crusty?
No, he was fine. He was, and I was at the Chica Lodge. Katie and I stayed there once. It was, used to be this great little quaint lodge on Isle Mirada. And Ted's fishing house was right over the fence on the other side. Ted was over there, and I always... But I'm sure if he would have driven up the driveway, he might have gotten a shotgun or something. But I met that driver. I've always wanted to drive over there and say, hey, Ted's, Sid sent me or something and talk with him. But yeah, he was an ornery SOB, I guess.
Yeah.
I always said that the legend and the Red Sox for decades had the worst clubhouse in baseball as far as writers were concerned. Part of it being, I think it was such a small group and there were so many sports writers that all those newspapers, Lynn and Quincy and all, you know, Boston suburbs are way bigger than Boston itself. Mm-hmm. And they all had Daily Lowell. They all had daily newspapers and they all traveled with the Red Sox and they all covered it. And
did they really?
Yeah. Ooh. And they would, that clubhouse was all, you know, as big as this room. And it was just a, I think the fact there was never any room in there and all these writers were hanging around irritated them. But they said Ted taught Yaz how to be a prick, and he did a good job, by the way. And then Yaz taught Lynn and Rice how to be a prick, and it was kind of a legacy.
They passed it on?
It was legacy. Passed the torch. Lennon. Rice was, you know, always had the reputation as the growly, snarly guy. Lynn was a bigger jackass than him.
Really?
Oh, Lynn was terrible. Lynn was a
condom. How was Dwight Evans?
He was okay. I mean, I didn't deal with him that much, but Lynn was a condescending, just a, you know.
Clemens had to be up.
Yeah, he tripped out with. I did get an interview with him once when he was a young phenom. The Red Sox lined it up for me. And it was one of the most, it was outside their clubhouse sitting on a bench after he'd pitched against them, but he'd worked out. he did his post-game workout so long that he wanted, he knew he had to do this, but he wanted me to leave, but I hung for at least an hour.
Right.
And then probably got 20 minutes of the most chippy minutes you ever didn't want to give you, just wanted to get it over with. And, you know, but, yeah, I mean, beyond that, he was, you know, that, again, Boston, New York, that wasn't a great place for him because he was, you know, he didn't,
right.
You know, they, but he was, you know, phenomenal, but grumpy, you know. But supposedly, not a, you know, bad guy with teammates or stuff like that. He was just right. Didn't like the media, especially after the steroid stuff, supposedly.
Yeah, that probably didn't help at all.
Mm-hmm. No, not at all.
How about all the 2020 Hall of Famers, Patrick?
Oh, God, it's terrible. Joe Morgan.
Who passed today, right?
77.
Okay.
Greatest second baseman in the history of baseball.
Mm-hmm.
I was telling Reavers this, that when you're my age and you have followed baseball since you were 10, you know, you have your all-time team, right?
Sure.
And you go back and you argue with guys about whether Ruth should be the right fielder or Aaron or something. Joe Morgan's my second baseman in later life after seeing him. I think he's, because it's him or Rogers Hornsby, and I'm not going to take some white guy, who, you know, from 100 years ago, right?
Okay.
But, yeah, today, 77. Now, I wasn't aware he'd been ill. You were, you said?
Yeah, he had had issues, I think, for a couple of years.
Seaver.
Yep.
Kaline, who was 85.
Okay.
Bob Gibson, who was 84, but you thought he was indestructible watching him.
And he had battled the cancer for a few years.
Yes, yes. Lou Brock, 81, which surprised me he was that old.
Yep, agreed.
And that's
Whitey Ford.
And Whitey Ford, who just died at 91, and his liver should be sent to Cooperstown.
How did he make it to 91?
I don't know.
I was actually going to ask that question.
Because Whitey had that red, he always had that red glow about him.
He was
very nice guy, I guess, quiet guy. You know, he was, unlike Martin and Mantle.
Who were his drinking buddies, right?
He was there for the fights. He just didn't get involved, I think. He let them do the fighting, Mantle, but that hell-raising Yankee crew, he was like the Martin and him and Mantle. He was the third wheel.
Yep.
But he was, you know, Whitey was in New York. He was like nobody. Hey, Whitey. It was all Whitey and Yogi. Whitey was the pitching equivalent of Yogi. They were the beloved,
right?
The beloved figures. And Whitey was the, I suppose today you'd call him a junk ball and lefty, but, you know, he was the craftsman of all time.
Man, I bet he had some stories.
April 11th, 1961. Twins' first game ever. Yankee Stadium. Whitey versus Pete Ramos.
Mm-hmm.
Scoreless to the seventh. Bob Allison hits a home run in left field down in the corner there where it gets short.
Yep.
To break a scoreless tie, and then the Twins got three runs off him and ended up beating him 6-0. Pete shut him out on three hits, and I said the other day on Twitter, at 3:00 that afternoon, we were going to win the pennant because we beat the Yankees.
And Whitey,
we've never lost to the Yankees.
And the only question is, what bar was Whitey at 3:01?
Went to afterwards. Yes, I'm saying the game was played in New York, so it started at noon. By the way, defending American League champs had lost to the Pirates in the Mazeroski home run.
Mm-hmm.
14,500 on opening day, something like that. Under 15,000 people. Under 15,000 people.
That's incredible.
It is. And the Twins, we ended up only 38 behind them.
Oh, well, that's okay. You still got the one win.
They won 108, and the Twins won 70.
Well, I'm sure they didn't sweat that opening day loss.
No, the Twins were 7. We only lost 90 that year because the two of them got rained out, and they never had to make them up. So, anyway, yeah, the Yanks were
baseball attendance in the 60s is one of the most interesting. The Red Sox.
Oh, look at the
Cubs.
The Red Sox have a year where they're in the 400,000s.
Yeah.
The Twins averaged $1.4 million from 61 through 70, led the American League in attendance. That was the highest. They led the American League in attendance. The Yankees, you know, now the Yankees starting in 65 went into the famous Horace Clark era where they were bad. CBS owned them. CBS bought them. Mm-hmm. They were terrible. They had a guy named Mike Burke. And, you know, the people were just, you know, the mantle got old. Maris left. And, you know, everybody got old, you know. And they were bad until George bought them, actually. George brought them, I think, bought them in 72 or 3 and brought them back. But, yeah, the Yankees back then, you'd go there. I never went there, obviously, before my time. But, you know, they'd draw 8,000 on a Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, that's remarkable.
Yeah, it is. It's
Fenway was basically empty.
Yeah, well, the Twins, you know, you got to think when they were drawing 1 point, I think high 1.4s is, they might have hit one. I don't think they ever hit 1.5. But they didn't play a day game, a night game, until May. And once you got after Labor Day, maybe a week after Labor Day, the last 2-3 weeks of September, you only played day games.
Wow.
Because of the weather.
Yeah.
You know, it was just a concession.
And no television issues.
No.
They didn't.
No regional
TV. There
was
no Fox Sports North to tell you.
You'd go to a game in September when they were good and they'd draw 4,000. Hey, we got to go to work.
Yeah.
God, we can't be going to a ball game paying $4 to get in.
But we think the people, that the people used to go.
Yeah. Yeah. We can't go. Yeah. Met Stadium. We can't go to a ball game, pay $3.50 to get in, and then $1 for a beer, for God's sakes. You know what it costs you for a beer, a hot dog, and a bag of chips? $4 to $3, for God's sakes.
Throw in the program, 25 cents. Ridiculous.
We can't be doing this.
I remember the last game at Met Stadium, Twins game.
Yes.
Which I think was against Kansas City.
81. Yeah, I can't remember.
September 81, right? Yeah. And I went to that game. And in retrospect now, it was empty.
13,000.
Yeah.
I remember that. And you guys, were you one of the drunken youth?
No, I was 11 years old.
Okay.
My mom took me to the game.
But the youth was chanting.
I wish.
But a lot of college youth was there. Remember that audience, how young I was? You might not remember. I remember that. And the game ended. Calvin, they were going to have a ceremony where they dug up home plate.
I remember this, yes.
They're going to dig up home plate.
I stuck around for
Calvin
it.
Didn't even bother to go. He went to the press room to have a drink, and they started chanting the crowd, Calvin, Calvin, Calvin. So he came out. You know, Calvin, somebody hauled him out of there. He waddled out from the press room, down the steps, came out, and hey, Calvin, because it was a comic thing from the college students were saying, hey, Calvin. And Calvin, you know, here's the crowd saying goodbye to Calvin in Met Stadium and thank you for bringing the team here. And he gave everybody hell for not coming to the game more. Otherwise, we wouldn't have had to move down to that terrible dome stadium in Minneapolis. He basically is a PR man to the end at Met Stadium.
Browbeat him for not going to more games.
Gave us hell for not being there. And I was covering it, but gave us hell for not being there in bigger numbers. And now we had to go to this lousy stadium downtown.
Yeah, it wasn't wrong.
No, but he was.
My greatest regret is I missed press rooms. I missed
the era of the press room.
Not the lunch room that they have
you
now.
You know, and it never really got replicated at the Metrodome. It never got. I mean, you could still get a drink afterwards.
Yeah.
But
had a real room downstairs.
Yeah. There was a press room downstairs, and you could eat lunch or whatever before the game, and there was no charging or anything. And you could have a drink. I guess they did. I don't think they had any pregame drinks down there like you did at the old Met. But the other thing is, if you went down there, I mean, it was closed. You'd write, and they'd be closed when you went down there. Back in the day, you know, you'd leave at 2:30 in the morning. You know, the bartender, somebody'd have to drive the bartender already home, and because he'd be hammered. But you know, they'd say, hey, lock it up, Billy Robertson. And Jimmy Robertson would say, lock it up when you leave, boys, you know.
I missed that. I'm very sorry I missed that.
Well, the funniest thing, and I've told this story, is I wrote, you know, there were hot rumors. When were we going to go to Seattle? We were going to go to Seattle in seven, maybe my first year, maybe my second.
Mid-70s, right? Before.
Yeah, mid-70s. Because Seattle was suing them.
Yep.
Was suing them. And so, and Calvin was trying to get out because the tenants had just gone in the tank completely. And he was TV money, which looked great in 61, wasn't, you know, TV radio money wasn't that much. And they lost a doubleheader to Oakland. I have to look it up. It was 74 or 75 that knocked them. They'd been playing better than anticipated. And but this, like, Oakland came to town, beat them too. And I wrote a lead on this doubleheader with a little lead on top. And I said, it was a two-act play that could have been called Death of a Franchise, you know. And, you know, there's Death of a Salesman was a famous play, and yeah, blah, blah, blah. And then I had just about that. That wasn't a lead. The big headline of the St. Paul paper, A Star in Death of Franchise. And the Twins went nuts. The Twins went nuts. Arnold Gathel called me up. Arnold Gathel called me up and was a sports editor and had to have a meeting with me. And he didn't want to be the sports editor that drove the Twins out of town, like, you know. But the Twins, when they, that was like the last day of a homestand. When they came back, they'd put up a sign, press room closes 1 hour after game.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Well, the Angels happened to be in town, and they had a threesome of Hoggy Miller from the L.A. papers. Hoggy Miller, Johnny Stedman, and Don Mary from Long Beach. And they saw that sign on the wall in there, and they burned it. And that was the end. The room stayed open. They basically,
so the Angels guys,
they basically lit it on fire.
God.
And then, you know, everything, and, you know,
softened up. Twins got over.
Twins got over. Yeah, they got over it. But it was, I'll never forget the good. What happened to that sign? I said, I came down after the game. I said, what happened to that sign? And Hoggy Miller, who was kind of the leader of the three guys, Dick Miller from the, I think he was the Times guy. We burned it. Yeah, you would have had fun in those press rooms.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
All right, we'll do this again next week.
All righty. Hey, I just got a text. Jorge Polanco underwent surgery. Guess what kind?
Successful.
All right. Hey.
Congratulations.
All right, good. If you have questions about your retirement savings, do what I did and work with a person that knows what the heck is going on. Work with Josh Arnold, Mr. Money Talk. My guy Josh will give you straight talk and not sugar-coated advice. Learn how you can benefit from Josh's focused approach by setting up your own no-cost, no-obligation 48-minute consultation to review your investments. Call Josh now, 952-925-5608.
Get ultimate protection and durability for your painting project at Menards. Get a paint that combines durability and gorgeous color. Dutch Boy's DuraClean Interior Paint and Primer in 1 offers Stay Clean technology, making your home stay beautiful and clean longer. And with Dutch Boy's easy opening smooth pouring container, transforming your home has never been easier. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and head into Menards to get your paint project started today.
Save big money at Menards.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.